Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape. Terry Jones.
What's going on, man?
Comedian.
Yes.
You've made it.
They said that. No, I haven't.
You have, because you know why? You've released an album, a comedy album. That's big.
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting.
How many years did that take you to I guess, build up the comedy to the point where somebody said, you know what, we ought to record this
guy. To do an album, it took me, I would say, 10 years.
Wow.
Just to come up with the right concept of what I wanted to do with an album. Like, I did a DVD early on, like 5 years in comedy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it went well. But now I've evolved so much. I've lived life longer. And you have more to talk about than, you know, when I started when I was 18.
That's something. So when you started at 18, so what kind of jokes were you telling at 18? What was your material like at 18 years old?
It was all college and little bit of stuff about girls and the internet. It was like not really that funny. Like I did prop comedy. I did political comedy because I was a student at Duquesne University. So I used to do all like this political stuff, get a newspaper all the time. I wanted to be like Chris Rock at the time. But, you know, you just grow. And then you just want to end up being like yourself. And that was the cool thing.
And you feel like you found that at
this
point.
Yeah, I have.
So as we sit here and now, how would you describe your style?
There's a lot of impressions because people love that. Like when I did morning radio and I do like skits online. That was like a big thing on YouTube. One of the biggest ones was did this Bill Cosby black and yellow skit. And it was called Jell-O Pudding.
And
because the impression was like so flawless, everybody was like, oh.
We can't really laugh about him the same way
we used to, especially, you know, with the.
A little bit of nostalgia there.
Yeah, yeah.
I appreciate
Eddie Murphy. I do Eddie Murphy. So that makes people happy.
Oh, good.
You know, so.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do it.
I'll do it.
Well, I always feel like.
We're right here, right now.
That was good. No, that's great.
Yeah,
what I was going to say is I always feel like, you know, people find out you're a comedian. They're like, oh, tell me a joke.
Tell me a joke.
Or do an impression.
Oh, yeah. The impressions I don't mind too much because that's like, it could be quick. But the tell me a joke thing, that's the part where I'm just like.
And then if you bomb, you know, it's like,
everybody's
only got
like,
one shot.
You're horrible.
If you're doing a set, you got some time to recover. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was being very, you know, good mannered and not going to. But thank you for the Eddie Murphy. I really that warmed my soul.
You know what?
For a moment.
Anytime.
Thank you. So your album was released January of this year.
Yeah, this year.
Limbo Negro is the title.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that title.
the album opens up with me explaining what a limbo Negro is, and it talks about my life living in. Being in between worlds. So one of the things growing up was that I lived in the suburbs, but because my parents worked, I always had to be over my grandma's in the hood. So you would get these people who didn't like me on either side, you know, like the hood people would be like, oh, you know, you're acting white. And then I would go into the suburbs and they're like, oh, look at this black, you know, bastard. So it's like, I had to deal with this growing up where it was just like, I couldn't just be myself. And then I had to eventually find that place. So Limbo Negro was for all the people who feel like they're forced to be a specific black. And that's because culturally, you're forced to think that black culture is what you see on BET or The Wire. So I wanted to change that and explain, like, there is no right or wrong way to be black. At the end of the day, you are who you are, and you can be that.
And so, I mean, just in hearing you're telling you that, I mean, that can be a very dramatic and emotional situation, but you seem to have found a lot of comedy in that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of trauma. Comedy comes from a lot of trauma, so I have a lot of it, and this album talks about that. Actually, I'm huge into, like, literature, and one of my favorite pieces ever is The Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri. I think I'm pronouncing his last name right. And he had Inferno, Purgatory, and then he had Paradise. So what I wanted to do was, this album is actually pretty much like that. I want to do a trilogy, and it's going to be three comedy albums taking place in different parts of my life. So Limbo would be the Inferno part, where I'm talking about all my demons, a lot of the bad things I've had to go through in life and the struggles I have now. The next one's going to be my rise, and then the third one's going to be more of the happiness in my life, comedically.
So this is only the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. So like a lot of people didn't know that like there was a structure to it, and the structure was pretty much to kind of pay homage to the Divine Comedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And by your stylish chapeau there, my friend, I can also see that you're so well-read that you go from Dante's Inferno to DC Comics
DC.
with Batman, who is one of my favorite literary characters
all time. Of all time, man.
What is it about Batman that makes him your favorite superhero?
You know, you ever, like my top five superheroes, I relate to them. So it's Batman number one, Spider-Man number two, Hulk number three, Punisher four, and five is Shazam.
So what you're telling me is you are actually extremely wealthy. You have a cave under your house.
That's the goal.
No kung fu like better than anybody.
Secretly.
And have the most colorful villains.
Yes. All through the city.
It's Gotham City. My hat is off to you, my friend, if that is the case. But you mentioned earlier that Bat Dad, who's an internet sensation, you're a big fan of this guy.
Oh, I love it. It's so funny because I'm a dad and I'm obsessed with Batman. Like I have a 18-month daughter, and her name's Eris. I named her after a Final Fantasy character which is one of the best video games, Final Fantasy VII. But yeah, it's funny because she's obsessed with Batman at an early age. She has a plush, and we play this game. Where's Batman?
Wait, so she chases it.
She's 18 months.
Well, she has excellent taste.
Yes, she does. And she runs around and she gets the Batman. She kisses the doll. And she goes, Batman, when I'm playing like Arkham Knight on PlayStation 4. Oh. She's like, Batman.
Yeah. I have wasted many hours on that.
Oh, you can't help but waste hours looking for Riddler trophies?
Oh, no, I don't even bother with it because there's just no way. I don't have that kind of time.
And I love Kevin Conroy's voice.
Yes.
Like, I've been trying to practice the Mark Hamill laugh for so long. And I have the one part of it, but I don't have the second part yet. I'm waiting on the second part.
He was a genius.
Oh, he was so good as the Joker. Like, he would start off with the and then boom.
And then you had the high-pitched
Then you got to get the high-pitched part.
And that's the wild, reckless abandon.
Yeah, and that's the part I can't get.
What did we come here to talk about today? Was it all that?
It's about Batman.
I hope they're going to give us, you know, some, like, royalties or something for, like, you know, doing all this re-advertising for them. But, back to you. You know, we've kind of come full circle. Where you take your inspiration from, and balancing your act of comedian and father.
Yeah.
And this has culminated into your album again, that was released just this year, and available iTunes, Pandora,
yep. Spotify, Tidal, Google Play, Amazon. You can actually order physical Amazon copies through a distribution.
Okay, well that's so, what I was
thinking.
Because like, can I hold it?
Can you hold it?
I mean, do they still do that anymore? Yeah. That I can buy a physical CD with your face on it?
Yeah, and you know, the hard part about that is you do better selling those after shows rather than like actually putting them somewhere. So that's why I wanted to go ahead and do a digital release, because this is a digital age.
Yeah.
And everyone likes to stream. So I have more people streaming than even downloading the album, which is kind of tough because you only get paid so much through streaming. Yeah. So that's why you hear about like these different artists getting bigger deals, like Drake or Taylor Swift, where they're getting like $20 million from Apple Music. Because when you have to sell it directly, you're only making like 22 cent per stream. So you have to make sure you market the mess out of it. And I did it independently.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of it, you know, there's been some good Google Play sales, some good iTunes sales. It came in on the top 100 comedy charts for iTunes the first week it was released. So I was very happy with that, especially seeing myself with like all the people I grew up listening to.
That is pretty good. So, and this is an education for me because I still like listen to my scratched old Eagles Greatest Hits CD disc, you know?
Yeah.
So if I wanted to like support you, what would be the best way to like purchase this? Digitally or like get the physical copy?
Digitally, you could get it on iTunes. It's downloadable. But you know, people pay these fees. It's like $9.99 a month for like Tidal or $4.99 for Spotify, so a lot of people rather just stream it that way. I'm working on the second album, actually. The title is going to be Afro Bebop, which the bebop is a homage to Cowboy Bebop.
Oh, yeah.
Which
I've seen that a couple times.
Oh, I love it.
Late at night.
So. Oh, yeah.
Insomnia.
Right? On Adult Swim or whatever, and you're watching like crazy stuff. Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
You are a man of many varied inspirations.
Yes, I'm pretty, people say I'm unique. That's why, you know, we have a mutual friend who's just as unique as me. He's a nerd, too.
Bozzelli. Talking about Mike Bozzelli. Oh, yeah.
Mike Bozzelli.
Who's also a comedian.
Yeah, so we've done shows together. Yeah, like literally. And, you know, I know we've talked about like our favorite superheroes. We geek out on stuff all the time. We've done stuff for Toonzeum a few times. So, yeah, I mean, I like to be cultured. And that's what a lot of people love about this album. It's not your typical... 1-2 punch. It's not your typical, just even with black comedy, it's not like women be shopping, baby, and like there's no punchline. You know what I mean?
Women do be shopping.
That is true. So this whole album just talks about a social commentary on things going on in America.
I will look forward to listening it.
I hope you do.
But I'm gonna get the actual physical version so you can sign it.
Okay.
If you
will do that. If you do that, take a picture of it and show it to me, because it's like through Amazon.
Because you've never seen one, because it's like an
antique. No, I haven't seen it yet. Like it's available, and they're like, one's buying a physical copy.
You don't have a physical copy of your own album. Is this what you're telling me?
That is
insane.
I have folders, digital media.
No. This is the curse of the era that we're living in. That the artist doesn't even have a physical copy of it.
The artwork is pretty awesome.
I did see it.
Picture me as a kid.
We'll put up a picture, you know, on the interview here. But again, the album is Limbo Negro, Terry Jones, on iTunes or wherever you get digital anything, you can find him. Or if you and your grandma and me want to go buy it on Amazon, we can do that too. Awesome, Terry. Well, thank you for chatting with us.
No, thanks for
today.
Having me, man.
Oh,
I appreciate it. That's a nice ring, man. What is that?
Well, it's a little reminder if I ever got to do damaged, you know, somebody, you know, knows where it came from.
I think
it can open beer bottles too. You never know when you're going to need that. Never know.
This is a great show, man.
Yeah, we'll have to have you on when you do your release your next
second
album.
Yeah, I'll be honored to be on here. Also, Bigfoot the movie, if you guys get a chance, it's now available on Target's website, Walmart.com. And it's a new distribution. I'm in that movie as well with Kurt Wooten. So.
We had absolutely no segue for that.
No,
it
we
was
didn't.
Like, out of nowhere,
I just
Bigfoot.
Out of nowhere because I'm like that. Yeah. Like, oh, I forgot to mention this movie also. Yeah.
Which is I assume is about Bigfoot. we will check that out as well. Terry, thank you very much.
Thank you for having
Good
me.
Good to see you. As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.